ours will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, Otto.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen, and today we have two interviews for you, not just one, but two. The first part of our show will be in part one of an interview with Jose Raymond, and we are going to do our Mr. Olympia predictions again, just like we did last year before the Mr. Olympia. So this will be a two-part interview with Jose. Part one, which we will play today, we'll talk about the Mr. Olympia contest, the Open Men, and we're also going to preview the Arnold Classic, which will be coming up this Saturday, September 25th in Columbus, Ohio. So I wanted to get part one up so we could talk about the Arnold before it happens, because Jose gives his predictions for who's going to win that, and then we'll talk about the Mr. Olympia right after that. When we get done with part one of our interview with Jose, we are going to also talk to Dan Solomon, who is the president of the Mr. Olympia. Dan will be producing the Mr. Olympia contest again. I think this is about his third year. I apologize if I got that one wrong. But Dan is doing a fantastic job, and this will be the second time the contest will be in Orlando, Florida. And it's going to take place the week of October 5th. I think it starts that Tuesday. And that weekend, which will be October 8th and 9th, will be the contest itself. And on the 10th, which is Sunday, they're going to have the seminar. So it's really going to go on all week because they start earlier in the week with the Amateur Olympia and then the Mr. Olympia and all the other events. There's going to be 11 pro shows now involved with the Mr. Olympia contest. So it is a big, long weekend, lot of events. So that will take place on that Friday and Saturday, which is the 8th and 9th. So anyways, we got a chance to talk to Mr. Dan Solomon, and we also talked to Dan last year to preview the Mr. Olympia. So I'm glad Dan had the time to do that. I think this was the first interview he's done so far regarding the Mr. Olympia. So we got the exclusive rights to Dan Solomon this year. Last year, I know he was busy talking to all the other podcasts and all the other bodybuilding outlets. So I'm glad Dan made time for us. Before we get to that, I want to mention our sponsor, who is Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels to maximize your potential, then go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. Their competitive pricing, along with their quality products and services, are just a few reasons to give them a call. So call them at their office number in Tampa, Florida, 813-922-8939, or you can just go to their website, which is flalternativemeds.com. Again, that's flalternativemeds.com. They have offices all over the United States, but they can work with anybody in the continental United States just through their website. Tell them that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and they'll give you a free consultation. Plus, they'll give you 20% off your first order. All right, and when we are done with our interviews with Jose and Dan, I'm going to read another article from an old muscle builder, April, May, 1978. And this one is one of my favorite bodybuilders. I'm sure if you guys listen to the show on a regular basis, you know that my idol growing up, besides Arnold, of course, was Kelman Skalak. Some people call him Skalak. I'm not sure how you pronounce Cal's name, but Cal was my idol because Cal won the 1977 IFBB Mr. Universe title, and he beat out Mike Mentzer. And at that time, that was Cal's fifth contest. He only had done five shows before he won Mr. Universe, and he won them all. He won Mr. Delaware. Then he moved out to California, and he won Mr. California. And then he won the AAU Mr. America in 1976. And then in 1977, he won the AFAB Mr. USA contest to qualify to compete in the Mr. Universe, and then he won the Mr. Universe. So this contest, or this article, I should say, is called Close Encounters of a Fifth Kind, because it was Cal's fifth contest that he won. and it was written by Ahmed Tani, who was one of the top writers for Joe Weider back in the 1970s. So this is a great article about Cal and about him winning the 1977 IFBB Heavyweight Mr. Universe contest. So you guys are going to love this article after I read that. All right. What else is going on? I've got some comments on my YouTube page. I put up the interview we did last week with Lee Haney and Rich Gaspari and Lee Labrada and Sean Ray. And it got a lot of comments, and it's getting a lot of views, as it should, because that's a great interview with a lot of great legends. And it was one of the best ones I've done. That's for sure. I was really super happy to do it. So we got some comments on that. I'm going to read those. And so far it's got, 2,100 views, which is a lot for my channel. So let me read these real quick. The first comment on the page was from Jay Cutler. And Jay said, this was great to watch all my heroes when I started. And Max Power said, I never get tired of hearing from these legends. I was fortunate to have seen them compete. Truly golden age of the sport. Much respect to them all. Thanks, John, for another great episode. Dean said, this is gold dust, John. At 51 years old, I grew up a fan of these guys, and I love listening to them. Great idea to have them all together in one podcast, and great job. Kurt said, great episode, John. It's going to be hard to beat that lineup. Yeah, that's for sure. Stefano said, I remember reading an interview with Labrada saying he wouldn't want his sons competing in bodybuilding. I'm sure he's very proud and happy for Hunter. It's great to see that these men are doing well and are healthy. They are all legends, and they were my heroes growing up as a teenager in the 80s. Paul said, this is so awesome. The top four bodybuilders from the late 80s, all on the same show. Great job, John. The Operator 101 said, here's my two cents. Oh, my God, these are some of the godfathers of bodybuilding history. These are true legends in my book. LH91 said, thank you, John. Great show. Greatest guest. Lee Haney was an excellent poser, too, and great music choice. Thank you, all my favorite champs. Blessing you all. We can't forget the great posing of Francis Benfato also. Kermit said, awesome to see and hear these golden era legends together. And damn, Labrada's wife is beautiful. Wow. He must be talking about that clip I played from the 93 Arnold Classic. If you see it on YouTube, you'll be able to see that. Peter said, holy cow, John. Wow, I'm so impressed. How did you organize this epic podcast? Kudos. Well, actually, Peter, I just emailed all the guys, and I said, since you guys are all going to be commenting on the Olympia, why don't we all get you together? And they thought it was a great idea, and they were all for it. I didn't have any problem at all getting these guys together. Even getting the time when we could all talk was, in fact, Lee Labrada said he could only do it for a half hour, and he ended up staying for a whole hour. So I hope he made his flight. He said he had to get a flight that day. So it was really, really great that these guys really made time for this. I think they realized how special it was to all be together and also to promote the Olympia, because they're all going to be doing commentating. Guy said, John, how good was that? You are killing it. It'll be great to hear these champs comment on the Mr. Olympia lineup. Carrie said, that was great. I was at the Los Angeles Mr. Olympia 1988 with my camera, and that was one of the most exciting nights of my life. Good times. Batman said, star-studded lineup. I'm excited to hear this one. The Aged Iron said, damn, stacked lineup this episode. Fantastic show, John. Doug said, this is a great source of information. I'm competing in 8 weeks in my first show. I've been posing consistently for long periods of time on a daily basis for the last 2 months, but I still need to go the extra length. Awesome interview. Totally agree with the point system for posing also. Dreadful Zach said, fantastic interview, John. This is legit. The one channel I always get excited about when new videos are uploaded. I'm looking forward to the next. Keep up the great work. Scott said, what an amazing group of champions. I really enjoyed this episode. Jakedon said, spectacular interview, John. A pleasure to see these authentic representatives of the golden era. I'm looking forward to seeing your comments at the Mr. O 2021. China White said, rest in peace, Matt Mendenhall, Lee's most feared competitor. Tony said, oh my God, it just doesn't get any better. I love listening to the legends. Please give us more of them after the O. Robert Davis said, I started following the sport in 82 when Haney won the Nationals. And I've also had the opportunity to chat with Haney when he guest posed. And I've spoken with Sean at the FIBO in Germany.
more than anything else, I love the professionalism these guys bring to the sport. I know they are no longer competing, but I want to see the athletes conduct themselves in a manner that shines a positive light on the sport. In my opinion, no one does a better job of this than Lee Labrada. He's what I want to see more of in the sport. Jason said, thank you, John. The best one to date. Well done. Jake Potts said, hey, this was great. These guys have some class, even Sean. Steve Curno said, absolutely brilliant contest. Clobber said, amazing podcast. Congrats. Awesome. Tony Diana said, 56 years young, natural pro. I'm still at it. You guys rock, all of you. Age is just a number. Get back out there and get shredded. Let's go. Bobby DeMarco said, thank you very much, John. Mr. Jinx said, wow, what a great lineup. Your channel definitely deserves more subscribers. Keep it up. Mark Pacheco said, Rich should start his own show, the Gaspari Bodybuilding Classic. Willie said, McAway has a beautiful physique. C. Jones said, McAway is the greatest poser of all time. Stephen Bogrand said, this is wild. Arnold. Oh, let's skip that one, boys. That's foreign. Ryan said, mega episode. Red Ram said, I love all these guys. Richard Ratner said, JTV sent me here. Big John, love, kindest regards, Richard from the UK. Ruben said, Labrada on posing. He must be on crack. Labrada, what the fuck is he talking about? Today's Frankenbuilders cannot pose distorted synthol infested carnage. All BS. James said, Arnold is my favorite, but you can make a good argument that Haney is the GOAT. And New Deal said, Jay sent me here. So Jay Cutler must have sent a few people over to channel, to the video. So thank you, Jay Cutler. I appreciate that. So thank you guys for making those comments. All right. I also got an email this week. Paul Aliota, who was in one of our John Hansen Fitness Challenge winners. So Paul said, hey, John. In fact, Paul was our first John Hansen Fitness Challenge winner last year. He said, hey, John, I just want to say that this last podcast was incredible. I'll be able to attend the Olympia for the first time since I just moved to Florida, and I'm getting to hear some of the greatest bodybuilders ever talking about it. Got me even more excited. I also got a bit out of shape due to the move, but I jumped back on the diet you had me on during the fitness challenge contest. And even after a week, I could see myself looking better. So that's awesome. I hope to see you there and keep it up. All right, Paul, I hope to see you there too. Paul was our first winner of the John Hansen Fitness. All right, guys. So that's all we got for our opening. So here is part one of our interview with Jose Raymond, where we're going to preview the 2021 Mr. Olympia contest. And we're also going to talk about the Arnold Classic, which will be coming up this weekend. Here we go. All right. Welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I have a very special guest with me this week, Mr. Jose Raymond, one of the best 212 bodybuilders in history. And he is now retired and he is back with me to discuss our Mr. Olympia predictions. Jose, we did this a year ago. Well, 10 months ago it was actually, because the show was last year in December. And we were a little off, but we're going to give it another try because it's always fun to try and predict. And now we're about 3 weeks out from the show. So this is before the Arnold Classic. So we're kind of predicting it a little bit ahead of time. But it's good to have you back, buddy.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm sure I'll be off again this year. But that's what it's all about. And bodybuilding is one of those things. It's so hard to predict. It's not like...
Because we don't
football,
know what they look like. Yeah.
Well, you know, Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, or they're going to, you know, lead their team in a certain fashion where, you know, here we don't know if someone has an injury, someone's training around, you know, having financial issues, whatever. There could be problems that we have no idea about. So we're just going to assume everyone is at their best.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody was off last year because they were all thinking that Phil Heath was going to come back and dominate. And I don't think any of us really considered that 1 year off and then getting a little bit older, you know, that does play a toll on everybody. Even if you're a legend like Phil Heath, 7-time Mr. Olympia, it did make a difference. And he wasn't who he used to be.
Yeah. I think Phil, the 2 years it compounded. It looked like he hadn't trained full time for 2 years.
Yeah.
And that he was genetically superior enough to put in a, I'm not going to say half-assed, but a limited prep and still look that amazing.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of a kind that he could do that. Mm-hmm. Where most people, if they miss the amount of time that he did, for what I'm guessing was multiple surgeries, not just one.
Yeah, I think he had a couple hernias.
Yeah. And to come back looking as amazing as he did is pretty wild.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
That can't be overlooked. But yeah, this is fun. Let's do it.
All right, let's talk about Open Bodybuilding 2021 Mr. Olympia. We got Big Ramy coming back to defend the title. Phil Heath, I believe, is not going to be there this year, but we do have Brandon Curry coming back. We got Hadi Chopin coming back, and we got a bunch of new names, William Bonac, and a lot of new guys coming in. So do you want to talk about the Arnold first? We got the Arnold coming up taking place.
Sure, we'll put on a four-hour podcast for we can do it quickly. My pick is going to be William Bonac.
For the Arnold. All right.
I think Akeem is going to be very dangerous in that show.
Yeah.
I think Nick Walker is going to be very dangerous in that show.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ian is going to be very – this is an exciting show because –
yeah, deep lineup, man.
Yeah, and all these guys are good, and they're all pretty much interchangeable.
Yeah.
At any point, you know. I think the only one that's going to get – not misplaced, but – is going to be kind of shit out of luck if we go by this year's placings is Rolly.
Okay. What about Kuklo and Sergio?
That's the exciting matchup I want to see. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the tall guys. I see Sergio's pictures almost daily as well.
Okay.
And he is massive.
Wow.
Massive and round like he's never looked before. It's exciting. I can't wait to see that matchup. He's pretty much the exact same size as Kuklo.
Yeah.
But like smaller joints.
Smaller waist, yeah.
Yeah, he has a rounder look to him where Kuklo is like big white guy, football player looking guy who comes in condition. Sergio's all of a sudden getting these like really round look to him that he never had before.
Wow.
Cannonball shoulders and his arms are stupid now. Then his legs are huge. And
yeah.
His back, which has always been his weakness, has come up tremendously.
Hmm.
I see great things from him. He's one of those guys. Like if he nails his condition 100% and holds this new round muscle that he's showing, he could really upset a lot of people.
I think he could win.
I don't know. I mean, not yet. I don't know. I think he's going to make his presence felt. I'll just say that. But I still think Bonac is so big, thick, round, conditioned, and a two-time winner already.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, he's the best athlete in the show. And then, you know, Akeem is the biggest guy. It's similar to Bonac in muscularity, you know. Mm-hmm. If he can bring the same condition as a Bonac, he probably win.
Yeah.
So that's going to be like my top.
So you've got like really four or five guys that could win.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, Ian could win.
Yeah.
Ian is.
But he's getting better.
It's one of these things. Every podcast I do, I end up shitting on Ian because I'm like, I'm not there and I don't see it in person.
Yeah.
But the reality is he could win this show.
Mm-hmm.
He's big. He's symmetrical. He's conditioned. He's not missing anything.
He seems like he's the kind of bodybuilder that gets better every show. Like last year he was off, and then he did New York. He won. And then at the Olympia, he was even better. And it seems like the same thing's happening this year. He did Tampa. He was good, but not quite conditioned enough. And then he did
Texas,
and he looked much better. And I think he's going to look much better now.
Yeah. He's another one who's in his – he's hit his stride.
Yeah.
Where everything he does is improving.
Yeah.
You know, he's drastically better than he was at the Olympia last year.
Yeah.
Drastically better.
Yeah. Much, much better.
you know, he's one of the few guys that I really enjoy watching his training videos. Like,
he's
strong as hell.
Yeah.
He uses perfect technique, perfect form.
Right.
He's, you know, and he's working his ass off. Like, he really is. And that's why I feel so bad. I'm always like, you know, is he overrated? Is he fucking, how is he beating this guy? How is he, you know? And he's just shutting my mouth every time. Like, you know, it's fun to watch. I love it. And, you know, in my mind, I think he beat Hunter last year, and I think he'll beat him again this year.
Uh-huh.
So I think on paper from this year, from what we see in, you're going to have Bonac, Ian, and Akeem top three at this show. And then
Bonac, Ian, and Akeem top three.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then after that, it could be, you know, it could be anyone. It could be
Sergio.
Hunter.
Yeah.
It could be Sergio. Could be Nick.
Is Hunter doing the Arnold?
I thought he was. Is he not?
I don't know. He might be right. I don't know.
I think he is. Maybe he's not. Well, we just threw him in there anyway. well, I'll give him a call afterwards. You got to do it now. But, yeah, I think Nick is the one that is the he's like the outlier. Like, he could be fit and he could win.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what it's going to look like next to these guys because he hasn't stood next to them.
Yeah, he was so dominating at that New York Pro, but he really didn't have much competition. He had Justin Rodriguez, and he significantly... And
Justin's good.
Yeah, but Justin's he was much better than Justin.
Yes, and he was. And
I look forward to seeing him against, like, bigger guys like Sergio and Steve Kuklo and Ian and Akeem, you know.
Yeah, well, he's 3 or 4 inches shorter than all of them.
I know.
The only one he's taller than is Bonac.
Yeah.
And he's not much taller. And he's like 265. Like, he is a freak, legitimate freak. And his back double, I'd put up against anyone.
Yeah.
You know, he can win this show. Why can't he?
I agree.
There's no other guy.
When he came out last year, I was a little critical of his structure because he's got the short legs, longer torso. But it seems like he's corrected that by putting on so much muscle. He's so conditioned, and his posing is so much better. He knows how to pose for his physique. When he crunches down on those abs, when he's standing relaxed or does his front double by, it makes a huge, huge difference.
Yeah. I still think he can fix it and make it even better. I think he can do the vacuum, but not extend his torso so much.
Okay.
When he lifts up, it makes it look big. If he just pulls the vacuum and stays low,
mm-hmm.
He can cut off that imbalance, and still have that waist look even smaller, which will really, really improve that taper. I still think, you know, he's a work in progress still, and he's damn dangerous.
Yeah,
you know, I'm really.
Isn't this more exciting, Jose, with these new younger guys? Like, we got Ian, we got Hunter, and we got Nick Walker. These three guys specifically. I mean, it's just so exciting seeing these three guys come up and being so good, and they're so competitive, and they all really seem intelligent. They got their act together. They don't seem like they're head cases. You know what I mean? They did really seem like they're going to be all a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, well, they're all in the depths of the peak of their career.
Yeah.
Of like, they're just hitting it, and they're now knowing how dangerous they can be. And I've said it before. I think they're all interchangeable. I think Hunter, Ian, Sergio, Nathan D'Ascia, someone else we're not talking about that'll be at the Olympia, James Hollingshead.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are all so dangerous.
Yeah.
And so interchangeable. Who's going to play seventh at the Olympia? It could be any one of those.
Any one of those five guys. Yeah.
Right. Nick Walker. Nick could be seventh. He could be third.
Yeah.
There's no reason he couldn't leapfrog, you know, if Brandon's off or if, you know, I don't know, if Akeem is off.
Yeah. Or Bonac.
These guys, they could all end up in that general vicinity.
Yeah.
The only sure things in my mind is Rami. You know, and that's funny to hear that because, He never was a short thing, but right, now that he's showed up over a month early, he's with Dennis James, babysitting him every single day.
Yeah, he knows
what he's going to show up. He's going to be better than last year. So Romney's going to win. And I just skipped the Arnold. But that's the only short thing. There's Hardy, Brandon, Bonac, and Romney. Those four are the only sure things.
So do you think rest of them, those four will be top four again at the Olympia?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
100,000,000%.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because Brandon's that good structurally. You know, he's incredible. He's not going to come in off. He's a professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got kids to feed. He ain't taking a risk of doing something dumb.
Right.
He's going to be top four no matter what. And he's training as though he's coming to win and take his crown back.
Yeah.
You know, I think the fact that Phil was there last year kind of hurt him in a sense, because like he was the only similar physique. And even though Phil was off, not at his best, there's still certain things that Phil was better at. Like, and now he won't be there, and Brandon will be the shoe-in, you know, prettiest physique in the first call out of the Olympia.
But do you think Brandon can beat Rami?
If Rami's off.
I mean, if Rami shows up like last year or better.
No, I don't think anyone can.
Because Rami's just too big. Rami's just too big for anyone to beat.
He's too big. He has too much going on. I mean,
a prettier, more symmetrical physique couldn't beat Rami.
No, not unless it was 270.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How about if
Sean Roden came back looking like he did in 2018? Do you think he could be wrong?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's the only one, probably, huh?
Yeah, because he's the same height. He's very wide. Sean is doesn't get enough credit for his width through the shoulders. He's got the best legs in the world.
Yeah.
Even they're better than Rami's, because Rami's are just too big.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Not nearly as detailed as Sean's.
Mm-hmm.
Sean's hips are, 8 inches smaller than Rami's.
Right.
Sean at his best.
Why would Sean be better than Brandon? Because of the legs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just as wide. He's just as wide. He gets, a little harder from behind. Brandon's knock was always that the thicker, dark skin, and Sean is able to come in very dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Sean was the only one in the last couple of years that could beat Rami. Maybe a 2013 Phil or 2015 Phil.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I think if Rami were off a little bit, Then Hardy has the capability of being.
That's what I was going to bring up next, Hardy.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be way more dangerous this year because he also showed up a month early.
Yes, yeah.
Last week.
That was the problem last year. Was he showed up a couple days before? He was a little off on Friday, and by Saturday, he was significantly better.
Yes, and I think you're going to see that version of him, but a bigger, harder, more improved version, more confident version.
Yeah.
At prejudging this year, and that's going to spell trouble for everyone.
Can Hadi beat Big Rami?
Yes. If Rami's not. Rami's off.
So if Rami's got to be off to lose.
Yeah. It's game
he's
over.
He's just too big. Yeah.
If he improved from last year, it's not even going to be it's going to be like Bumstead. It's going to be over immediately.
How could Rami improve from last year? What did he need to improve?
He needs more leg detail, more separation through his quads.
Yeah.
He's going to stop doing whatever he was doing that was causing some of those portholes in his quads. It looked like he hooked up the Exxon Valdez to his quads and filled them up with something.
To the breaking.
Something. Yeah, it doesn't look. He needs drier separation, striations.
Yeah, that would look pretty.
Side leg is one of the best legs on planet Earth ever.
Right, right.
The side leg. His glutes were perfect last year. You can do that again.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more mid-back detail. 1% drier throughout, and he'll be untouchable.
Yeah.
It was just the legs that threw me off a bit. You know, where you looked at him next to Hadi, and Hadi was striated everywhere.
Yeah.
Every muscle in his leg was striated and separated. I mean, his legs were 1,000 times better than Rami's last year.
Hmm.
Not size-wise. I mean, they were huge.
Overall, yeah.
And if he's able to bring that and bring up his back, which has been his weakness, his back double bicep.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the pose he loses to.
Right.
I think he's capable of winning the front lat spread, winning the side chest, side tr- – you know, he is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 years ago when Hadi was top three, because it was Brandon, Bonac, and then yeah. Hadi was third. A lot of people thought Hadi could have got second or first. I thought that's where Hadi got beat, was from the back.
Yes, but that was only one shot.
Yeah.
His rear lat spread is incredible.
Yeah.
His rear double, I think it has a lot more to do with his posing it than development. I mean, the guy does walking lunges with four plates on his back. He's got muscle there.
Oh, yeah.
Just how he presents it.
Just a matter of detail, right? The detail in the back.
Yeah, and that's a posing issue.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been a weakness of his.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he was a 212.
That's an important pose, though, right, Jose? That rear double bicep. It's
the mother of all poses.
Right.
You know, I think bodybuilding shows are won by the front double and the rear double.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's unfortunate that that's his weakest pose.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he can win. And he probably, as you said, has lost a few thousand dollars to that one pose.
Yeah.
Because I would have had him beaten Bonac a couple of years ago. I would have had him a place higher last year.
Does Ian Valeri make top five this year?
He could.
Mm-hmm.
He could. As I said, the top four is in stone.
Actually, okay.
It's that fifth place on. And you would theoretically put Akeem there because he was sixth last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's improving. I think he's confident. I think he's doing all the right things. But the coach hopping thing has me concerned.
Yeah.
Because he went from Justin Miller back to someone he didn't want to name and supposedly back to the Camel Crew. You know?
Yeah.
When you're having success, why are you jumping coaches? Why are you
– Yeah.
You know, he should be at a stage of his career now where he's confident in what he's doing and what he needs to do to improve and to be a champion.
Mm-hmm.
And it concerns me that 8 years into his pro career, he's still not confident in what he's doing.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't touch me right, you know?
Yeah.
And that's why I don't have him as a lock for fifth place.
Yeah, I agree.
One would say Phil's not here. He moved up a spot. But you nailed it. Ian could be there. Nick could be there.
Hunter.
I'm really impressed with Hollingshead. He looks like a cartoon. He's all round bubbles, and he's going to come in shape.
Yeah.
He's bigger than all those guys. He's rounder, bigger.
And we missed him at the Olympia last year. He wasn't in it. So I never got a chance to see that guy. I never saw him in person.
He couldn't get his visa.
He couldn't get over, right.
Yeah, he would have had to quarantine for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it just didn't make sense. So that's why he did that other show to qualify for the Olympia early.
Smart.
So he could focus on doing all the things he needed to do to improve.
Yeah. And
from what I've seen, he has improved.
Oh, yeah. I saw some pictures of him today.
It wouldn't surprise me if he was in fifth.
I know.
That's what, you know, I said earlier, they're all interchangeable. There's no one that's locked into a spot. I do have the top four locked in, but the rest of them, it could go any which way. And that's the exciting thing about this show is anyone. Hunter? Sure. He's massive, conditioned, balanced. I always compared Hunter to a gigantic Flex Lewis. Very similar physiques.
Yeah, they do have very similar.
If you just morph Flex into a bigger version.
Right.
Very similar. Huge calves, you know, great quad separation, the big glutes, you know, high lats, great arms. You know, they're very similar. And that bodes very well for Hunter. If he can come in, flex his condition, then I would guarantee you today he'd be fifth place at the Olympia.
How'd you think Hunter looked at that show that he won this year?
I wasn't impressed. I just nothing jumped out at me.
Yeah. And
sometimes that's a good thing because he's so balanced.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't jump out to me condition wise. Like, he looked like he was in okay shape and nobody else was better.
Right, right.
I think the Nick Walker version of New York Pro would have beaten that.
I do too. Yeah.
I think it would have beaten it pretty handily.
Yeah.
Because he was big and crazy hard and dry.
Yeah.
And that's not what I saw. Now, clearly, Hunter's more balanced. His physique is prettier. He's more symmetrical, blah, blah, blah. But when you're talking a sheer muscle monster, Nick beats him and beats him pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. What if Bonac is off at the Arnold and he loses? Let's say he gets third. Do you think he drops out of that top four at the Olympia?
No. Because if he loses, it's because he wasn't in shape yet.
So then he's got 2 weeks, and he'll have
two more weeks to dry it up.
Okay. All right.
He's not going to be out of shape. Bonac at 90% is better than everyone else.
Okay. He's not done yet.
No. No, if anything, he's improved. He's finally got his legs back. Mm. Remember a few years ago, he had his left leg was atrophied. He had a knee issue.
Yeah.
His legs are full blown again. And he's one of the freakiest people I've ever seen. Honestly,
mm-hmm.
I got to spend some time with him and he would tell me like, oh no, bro, I train my legs once a month. They get too big. Are you serious? He's like, yeah, my ass is too big.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, all right. So, when he finally was able to do things the right way, I mean, there's very few people on earth that can beat him.
Yeah.
No way.
Wow.
And if he's at his best, no one at the Arnold's beating him. And if he's 90%, it's likely no one's going to beat him.
Yeah.
And if he were to lose for some reason, he definitely can still come back and be top three at the Olympia.
Yeah. It seems like Nick Walker is one of the most exciting guys. It seems like a lot of fans are getting behind him. I don't know what it is about him. Maybe it's because he's young, got that freaky physique. He's like a mutant. But he seems like he's got that right attitude. He's very, very disciplined and focused. And even a little very, very confident. He says he's going to win the Olympia 10 times. You know.
Well, that's his greatest asset is he's a lovable little kid.
Yeah, right.
Seven-year-old, know?
Right.
The faces he makes, the dumb shit he says.
Right, right.
Squirt king, ass man. Like, right. Nick, you're not supposed to be saying that shit. He's like, why not?
Yeah, right.
He's so naive and so,
right.
Oh, you just love him. You want to pinch his cheeks,
Right.
He's literally, what is he, 25, 26?
Like, 26, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, and he acts like he's 11. Like, so you can't help but love the kid.
Right, right. Yeah.
And he, everything he says has happened.
Yeah.
He has predicted his trajectory 100%. And that's not by accident.
So that's why it's not inconceivable to see him winning the Arnold.
No, it's not. It's not at all. I've said it. He's one of the most exciting. That's why I called him an outlier. He can play seventh or he could win.
Yeah,
I don't know until he's standing there next to him. I'm leaning more towards he's going to dwarf everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's like legit 25-inch arms. Like,
I know.
Like, come on. And he's so big and so conditioned that I don't see anyone. Like, he would have to really be off. And I think he's going to be better than he was in New York.
Yeah, he made a believer out of me in New York. I went to that show because it was here in Tampa. And, I was really, really impressed.
Yeah. I don't think anyone else looks like that.
Yeah.
No? You when he comes out, you do this.
Yeah.
Whoa, am I seeing what I'm seeing? He is a mutant.
And what really impressed me, Jose, was he just seemed so ready. You could tell that guy practice his posing, practice it. He came out, he was ready, man. He was just, every pose was spot on. He knew exactly what he was doing. You could tell he did hours and hours, weeks and weeks of practice.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can, for all the shit that Matt Jansen gets, he spends a lot of time with Nick, and he puts whatever he's done with him, he has been successful with him. And he has, he plays a big role in Nick's success for sure. And Nick believes in him and he believes in Nick. And they have a great working relationship that is working. So I will give, I don't often give Matt Jansen a lot of props, but I do in this case because he's mentored him to a certain degree, and I think it plays a big role. And you got to believe in the person that is coaching you, and Nick does, and you know, they do all the posing, they do all the training, and you know, Matt is there with them quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know? He's not just the online here, eat this, do that. He's there with them in the trenches, and that's important.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had another, he's another guy, got a great support system behind him, and he totally believes he can be successful. So that, that plays a huge part.
Of course. Of course. Anytime he has a doubt, you know, that support system reminds him who the hell he is.
Yeah, yeah.
He is the real deal.
Yeah.
He can beat any one of these guys. He really can.
So you want to go out on a limb and name your top six? We know your top four. You got Rami, Hadi, Brandon, and Bonac. Probably maybe in that order, right?
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to be fifth, sixth?
I'm going to say, just sticking with last year, as I said, I don't have a good feeling about the coach hopping stuff, but I think Akeem is a more symmetrical mutant like Nick.
Okay.
And therefore, he's going to get called out in that call out. And Nick is the only mutant-like guy there that's going to get called out with him. Do you know what I mean?
Who's going to look bigger when they're next to each other?
Akeem, because he's 3 inches taller.
Okay.
And he's probably, you know, 15 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
Akeem's probably 275. 5'10", 275, and Nick's 5'7", 260. You know, I think Nick's condition will be better overall.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
But I think, symmetrically, I think Akeem opens up bigger on that front double.
Okay.
I think his front lat is more impressive, unless Nick has fixed that front lat spread.
Yeah.
They were impressed because his lat spread, I guess, used to be worse. But he was like pulling his elbows too far together and making him not look as wide. It was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That is his worst pose.
Yeah. But every other pose is lights out.
Yeah. And
his rear double is knockout.
And his front double is great, too.
Yeah. His most muscular. He's got crazy abs.
Yeah, crazy abs.
So I think that could be your top six.
Not Ian.
Yes, he could be. He could be, but he doesn't have the freak factor.
Yeah.
You know,
more balanced.
He's more balanced, which could have him leapfrog everyone.
Yeah.
You know, because if Brandon Curry is in the top three, four. Then, and that's due to his balance, not his freaky size.
Mm-hmm.
Then why isn't Ian, you know?
Yeah.
But I just have a feeling that he might look smaller. He doesn't have huge arms.
No.
Some of his poses, I still I'm not a big fan of. His front double, he tends to do this, like his elbows mm-hmm. are in like that. Mm-hmm. His rear double, he's like pinched down on his traps instead of opening up, which he loses width to. So if, in a rear double, he can't afford to do any of that next to Nick.
Yeah.
Or Akeem. Or, you know, or I, you know, even James Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or what about Nathan D'Asha?
Yeah. Like,
these guys are the real deal, and they're all in that same zone.
Yeah.
Put it this way, the guy who comes in seventh or sixth, seventh, and the guy who comes in 12th are both unbelievable.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And it's yeah. it's like a hair. It's like splitting hairs
yeah.
between 7 and 12 this year.
Yeah.
And it's not normally like that. Usually the right. 12th guy, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right, right.
Where does Patrick Moore fit in there?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? It's pretty wild. He's yeah. a lot bigger than he's ever been.
Right. He's got beautiful physique.
Yeah. So... You know, I'm probably the worst analyst because I make too much sense. And I'm not willing to commit to something because there's nothing to commit to. These guys are all awesome.
Yeah, and the lineup is so deep this year, Jose. It's just, I think it's going to be really, really hard to correctly pick the top 10, you know, and especially in the right order. I think it's just going to be, man, it's just all a matter of who hits their peak, but there's so much talent. It's so deep.
Yeah. So I'm going to do it right now. Ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Rami, Hadi, Bonac, Brandon.
Brandon fourth.
Akeem, Nick Walker, James Hollingshead, Ian, Nathan, Hunter, Kuklo.
Kuklo's going to be in it?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's not qualified. Unless he wins the Arnold.
That's right.
Yeah.
So then, what's his name? Patrick.
Okay. All right.
That's your top 10 right there.
Yeah, top 11. Yeah, 11.
That's your top 11. I gave you an extra bonus.
Right.
Yeah, that's so you. I have Akeem beating Nick, but Nick beating everyone else.
Yeah. I think that's a good pick.
Because they're both monsters, but Akeem is a little more seasoned monster that's a little more symmetrical,
mm-hmm.
like a little better flow. And then Nick just like overwhelms everyone else.
Yeah.
Unless we see,
I can see Nick in top 7. I think that's a good prediction.
Yeah. And I think James Hollingshead, if he brings a condition that he's never brought before, like what he likes to call Caucasian dry.
Right.
if he has that,
yeah,
in that round muscle that he has, then he's right there. That's why I have him 7th.
Yeah. Did you see he's working on his posing a lot? He's got a posing coach.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I have him watching that. I like
that. Yeah, me too. I love that. Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to translate with a 275-pound. White British guy.
Right. Well, it's just great to see him making the effort, you know?
Yeah, well, I think the practice in itself will help with his transitions, even just in his quarter turns, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to have a certain spatial awareness on stage that it's going to help him tremendously. You know, the fact that he's practicing, I don't think we're going to see him come out and do a Lee Labrada routine,
right.
But I do think we're going to see a better version of what he's been displaying.
It's impressive a guy like that can do lunging poses. Man, that's incredible.
Yeah, well, he's still got young knees.
Yeah, right.
You know? He's yeah, only.
Try that when you're in your 40s and 50s.
Yeah, that should end real quick.
Yeah. I saw a video when I was 22, and I just went down to that lunge pose like nothing, man.
Oh, yeah. John, I used to do
I'd be in the hospital if I did that now.
I used to do backflips on stage.
Yeah, you and Tito, right, I remember.
Yeah, I can't do any sort of lunges anymore.
Yeah, I know. It'll
take me a half hour of warming up before I think about that.
It'll take me 6 months of practice.
It's fun to watch everyone else do it.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Thanks to Jose for that interview. Next week, we will have part two of our interview with Jose, where we will talk about the 212 division, and we'll also talk about the classic physique division. And now here, we're going to listen to our interview with Dan Solomon, who is the president of the Mr. Olympia competition. This is Dan's third year putting the show on. So Dan is going to talk to us about what we can expect from this year's Mr. Olympia contest. Here we go.
All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I have my good friend Dan Solomon here with us today. Dan is the president of the Mr. Olympia. He's been running it for the last few years, and so we're excited to have him here with us today to talk about what's going on at the 2021 Olympia. Dan, welcome to the show.
John, thanks for having me. You're doing a great job with this show. I keep following it. Every week you have big stars on and icons of the sport, and I know people really enjoy those interviews.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, I don't think we could beat last week where we had Lee Haney, Sean Ray, Lee Labrada, and Gaspari. That was unbelievable getting all those guys together.
That was probably an easy interview for you to do because those guys all know how to talk.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they're all great. They're very articulate, great champions. Yeah. But it was I was kind of having the fanboy moment, you know, all these guys that I used to read about when I was a kid, and they're all there talking to me. It was awesome.
Isn't it fun? You know, I'm glad you said that, John, because sometimes I feel like we all get so caught up in the work of what we do. And we all started off as just fans, loving this stuff, magazines and following the competitions. And, you know, now we get to have opportunities to talk to some of these legends and these icons. And it's easy to forget how special of an opportunity that is. And I'm glad you're still appreciating it because
I was freaking out.
It's pretty great. I know a lot of my colleagues, you know, who started off just like we did, they get so lost in the business.
Yeah.
And the financial component and all that other stuff that they forget just how great this can be. And, you know, we're very privileged, you know, as is your audience to get to hear the stories that these folks tell. And, when we were coming up and when we were starting out, we didn't get these opportunities. We didn't get to hear from Lee Haney and Lee Labrada the way we do today. So it's pretty special.
Yeah. Even Lee Labrada at one time said, you know, he goes, I'm freaking out. I'm looking at the screen and I'm seeing all these guys, you know, he was with them competing and even he's freaking out. So that was really cool.
And the cool part is they all still look great. Lee Labrada looks like he's about 2 weeks away from competing every time I see him.
I told Lee, I said, I saw a video of you playing guitar with your band in your 60s. I go, now I feel better about turning 60. You know, you're so cool, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's great that they're all still here and that they're all friends and they're, you know, they have such great camaraderie. I think everybody picked up on that.
No question.
All right, Dan. Well, let's talk about the big event this year. Last year, of course, you had a real challenge with COVID and you guys had, I think, 5 weeks to move from Vegas where you had it all planned at the Zoppo Theater. Was that it?
Yep.
And then you were going to move it. You had to move it to Orlando and you pulled it off and it was amazing. And it was a great show last year. You had an unbelievable stage set up and the whole thing went off without a hitch. So congratulations again on that. You and your team really pulled it off. So now we don't have those crazy drama this year. So what's going on for 2021?
Well, 2021 is all about growth and evolution. You know, like you said, last year we had very unique circumstances. And quite frankly, there's been a lot of unique circumstances this year. We're still in a bit of a pandemic. We're still dealing with those realities. So that hasn't completely gone away. With that said, to have all this extra time to kind of do things the way we want to. As everybody knows, Jake Wood came in about a year and a half ago and acquired the Olympia and Muscle and Fitness. And he did so because he had major plans to grow this thing and do some things with it, with me and Tamer and Angelica and our entire team and do some really cool things with it. And of course, last year we had some limitations and we were able to overcome those limitations and put on what many have described as one of the best stage productions the Olympia has ever had. So we're really proud of that. But this year, as we move towards the 2021 Olympia, the 57th edition of Joe Weider's Olympia, we are going to do some things that I think are going to really shock some people in terms of what we're going to do with the stage, even with the Expo itself. We're now calling it the Olympia World Fitness Festival or the World Fitness Expo, really because it's a sort of a reincarnation, if you will, or an evolution of what the fitness industry has become. You know, when we all started, we were a bodybuilding competition, right? And now there's just so many fitness disciplines, not just the fact that we have 11 IFBB professional league divisions that we crown their champions at the Olympia. But there's also a myriad of other fitness industry passions and disciplines that I represented this year. To give you some perspective on just how big our expo is going to be this year, So as for some perspective, in a normal year when we were at our full strength in Las Vegas, you know, we would have upwards of 150 plus exhibitors and sometimes even more. Last year, of course, we had that, what we call our Band-Aid event, where we just kind of piece up together. Right. We called it our Olympia Fan Pavilion, which, you know, we had 30 or 40 exhibitors there, and it was great. And we were grateful for the support that we had, and we gave the fans something to do for a few days. But this year, we're back almost to that full strength. And it's when you walk in, it might not be the biggest Olympia Expo you've ever been to, but it's going to be close to it, and it's going to feel like what you would come to expect from an Olympia Expo, a trade show. It's going to have, you know, 100 and some odd exhibitors representing a cross section of, you know, sports equipment and sports apparel and sports nutrition. And so you're going to get a lot more of that. We've brought in Tim Gardner to kind of put his touches on the fitness expo experience to try to create a little bit more of an experiential, elevated overall vibe in the convention center. So you're going to see more surrounding that. We're completely reworking the press conference this year, that same press conference that we've all grown to look at, where you've had basically 30 carb depleted board faces looking back at the audience. I got with Tamer Algindi, our producer. I got with Jake and our team, and we're going to do something a little different this year. So if you weren't sure if you were going to go to the press conference this year at noon Thursday, it's inside the convention center at the Chapin Theater on the West Concourse. I encourage you guys to go to that this year, because it's going to be different, and I think a little bit more energized, and some more memorable moments I think will come out of this year's press conference than perhaps we've had in the past.
Any hints?
No, just let's put it this way. You're not going to have a lot of people sitting down on that stage this year. It's going to be, it's going to be different. We're going to create conversations. We're going to create moments that I think, and I say create, they're going to be authentic. They're going to be organic, but we're going to create a model that allows a different type of communication to happen, and a different type of energy to sort of kick off the weekend. And I think people are going to really appreciate what we're doing this year. And I'll be honest with you, every part of this year's Olympia, whether it's the press conference, even the banquet that we hold for the VIPs on Saturday night after the event, even that's going to have a different vibe to it, a different energy to it, different everything. And, of course, our stage production, you guys saw what we were able to do last year in 5 weeks. I can only tease and tell you a little bit and say this year's stage is going to be just a whole nother level. And there's going to be some elements of this year's stage that I have sworn my team to secrecy, but you're going to get there and you're going to see things as part of that stage production that the audience has never been allowed to see before. So we have some really cool things going. And the other thing that we're really proud of is we have more sponsors at this year's Olympia than we've ever had in the 57-year history of the event, which to me is so gratifying, because, look, it's been a challenging couple of years for companies, for fans, and to be able to see everybody, all these companies come back and want to be present, want to be a part of this, want to support the fitness industry's most prestigious event, and to create something that everybody recognizes this is history. This is, you know, we're on the comeback trail in terms of bringing the community, the fitness industry back together. So, a lot to look forward to this year, for sure.
That's great to hear about that, about the sponsors, because, you know, what I've heard over the last few years is, you know, the supplement industry is changing. They're not spending as much money. You know, the contracts for the athletes aren't the same. So because it's all social media driven now. So,
well, I'll jump in, John. You're right. All those things are true. And the way we've been able to grow this thing is it's not all about the supplement companies anymore. Now, of course, the supplement companies represent a big central artery of what we do. And we love the supplement companies, the sports nutrition category. It's enormously important for all of us, but we're starting to see a lot of new types. I mean, look at our title sponsor, Trifecta, the number one organic meal delivery service in the United States.
Yeah.
They're not a supplement company. You know, we have so many other brands and so many other companies that sort of cross over to different parts of the fitness lifestyle. And some of them even cross outside of the fitness lifestyle, because these are companies that want to connect with our audiences as well. So, I've always said the only way we are going to reach where we want to reach as an industry, as an event, the IFBB Pro League, all of us, the only way we're going to get there is if we go beyond just what we call those endemic brands. The endemic brands are sports equipment, or I should say fitness equipment, sports nutrition and apparel. we can't just live in those big three anymore. We have to go beyond that. And we have to cross over into Hollywood. We have to bring celebrities on board. We have to do things to reach out and to make this sport something that your next door neighbor is talking about, something that your dentist is talking about, something that your best friend's wife is competing in. And the way we do that is to reach out and go beyond just that comfort zone. And I think that's why we've been so successful getting new sponsors aboard.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for correcting me on that, because I just assumed it was supplement company. So I made that mistake, but yeah, you're right. It is reaching out now to a fitness lifestyle. And I think that's one of the great things the IFBB did over the last 10, 15 years was they brought in all these other divisions, and that ended up bringing in a lot more people, regular people, into our world that never would have went into it if it was just bodybuilding, you know?
And Jim Mannion deserves a lot of credit, because the advent of all these new divisions, think about this. This year, we're going to have 11 IFBB professional league sanctioned divisions at the Olympia. 11. Think about that. And of course, we're adding the wellness division this year. We've added the incredible athletes in the wheelchair Olympia division. You know, so, and then of course, last year we brought back the Miss Olympia, which was a huge success. And, we're really proud of how that's turning out. Andrea has been a great champion, so we're proud of that as well. So just a lot of, growth, and those new divisions are connecting new audiences. I can't tell you how many people know our sport now because of the bikini division, right? So it's really, Jim has really led the way there. And I think a lot of us have just followed behind his lead, and we've seen a lot of growth because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned celebrities at the expo. Do you have anybody you want to mention that's coming this year? I know we've had Shaq there before, and Mark Wahlberg, and
So we're always really careful about putting stuff out there, because with COVID and with the movie schedules of all these actors, they're always their representatives, their publicists, their agents. They're always careful about putting those caveats that they may or may not show up. So we don't like to put too much out. I do know that I'm fairly sure our good friend Dave Bautista will be in the house this year. He loves it. He loves this stuff. He's such a big fan of all this, and he doesn't come as a favor. He comes because he wants to be there. He really follows the sport. And, of course, last few years we've had Shaquille O'Neal there. We're checking on his availability. Mark Wahlberg has been a part of this thing. Dwayne stops by once in a while. So, you know, I don't know ultimately who's going to end up there this year. I know we have some cool NBA commitments and some Major League Baseball commitments, and you know, we'll see how it goes. But I don't want to put anybody in a spot and make a promise, and then somebody shows up, and then all of a sudden that person isn't there. So I'm always really careful about that.
So when is the expo, Dan? If people just didn't want to go to the show and they just wanted to, they were in the Florida area and they wanted to travel and check out the expo, when is that?
Yeah, so this year's whole scheduling model follows right in line with what we've always done. So the expo itself is a Friday and Saturday event. Starts at 9 a.m. on Friday, and I think we have an early entry program as well. And it runs throughout the entirety of the day. And then, of course, the two what we call main events, the Friday night and Saturday night events, also at the Orange County Convention Center. The Thursday press conference also will be at noon. So it's in the Chapin Theater. Do your homework, guys, and figure out where everything is when you get there, and ask questions if you're not sure where to go. Last year, I know, was our first year in Orlando, so it did create some confusion. I remember Thursday at noon, we normally have a big line out the door at the press conference, and last year I noticed we didn't have as big a line, and it was because of COVID. There wasn't as many people there, but also it was because people didn't know where things were. We didn't have that autopilot situation where people just knew where things were. So, So the schedule, and then we also have the Amateur Olympia, which is going to be in Orlando, which takes place on Tuesday and Wednesday prior to the start of the Olympia weekend.
Oh, wow.
That event, the Amateur Olympia, which, by the way, is open to anybody who's registered as an NPC athlete. Mm-hmm. It's also a pro qualifier, and it's a really great event. It happens to be one of the biggest NPC events in the country. Certainly the biggest NPC event in the state of Florida. And, it's funny because I always joke that, you know, we spend so much time focusing on Olympia weekend. The Amateur Olympia, a lot of times we don't talk about it as much as we should, but if it was a standalone event, the Amateur Olympia would be a central you know, marquee event in the industry, it tends to get lost a little bit in the shuffle because we're talking about putting on the Mr. Olympia and all that stuff that we do. So if you want to see a great NPC event or if you want to compete in a great NPC event, you can go to MrOlympia.com, click on the Amateur Olympia button, and you can get registered for it or even attend it because it's a great amateur event. And like I said, it is a pro qualifier.
Yeah, I got a couple of people from my gym at Powerhouse who are going in it. So I know it's going to be a huge event.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Now, that's not international, right? That's just this country?
This country, yep.
Okay, gotcha. All right, let's talk a little bit about
And I want to jump back on that. Yeah. There are certain eligibility rules that I don't fully understand. So there might be – don't quote me on that. I know that we are – and you know, it is an NPC worldwide sanctioned event.
Yeah.
And where the pool of athletes can come from – that is probably more of an IFB. That's probably more of an NPC office matter. Okay. But I do know that there is a global representation at that show. If you are an international athlete and you want to determine your eligibility to compete in the Amateur Olympia in Orlando, just send us over an email and we'll get you squared up.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Mr. Olympia. Of course, that's where we all started with this. Last year we had Phil Heath coming back, so that created all the headlines. And this year we've got Big Rami, who was the surprise winner last year. He blew everybody away. So it's exciting this year. You know, I've listened to now all the prediction podcasts are starting to come out. I just did one with Jose Raymond that will be on this show as well.
Great.
And we're talking a lot about all these new young guys coming up. You know, Ian Valera and Nick Walker and Hunter Labrada, Lee's son. So that's exciting that we've got all this new blood coming in, and they're not just coming in. They're a force to be reckoned with. These guys are going to be really contending for that top six spot.
They really are. I know Sergio is going to try to get himself qualified this week as well. There's a lot to look forward to right now. You know, even Rami is a champion. He's a relative newcomer, right? I mean, he's been doing it for a few years, but you know, he hasn't been around, really that long either. And when you look at, of course, the arrival of Hadi Chupan, who made it safely here from Iran, we're very excited about him. It's, you know, there's a lot of fresh blood coming in to the sport, to the open men's division in particular.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to start seeing a lot of new rivalries form. And also what's great about a lot of these new sort of arrivals onto the scene, what's great about it is, they're from all over the world.
Yeah,
and, you know, with Hadi coming in, you know, from Iran and, of course, you know, Big Rami from, you know, Egypt by way of wherever else, you know, he's traveled.
Right.
And I know he's right now he's in Arizona working with Dennis James. I know Chad Nichols is involved in that camp. They just have a great group of folks that are kind of looking out for Rami and trying to help him defend the title. But it's not going to be easy for Rami when you bring 300 pounds plus on stage, there's a lot of margin for error, right?
Yeah.
So, he's going to have his work cut out for him. I caught up to him a few weeks ago, at the Rising Phoenix, and, his head seems like it's in a pretty good place, but he knows that they're coming. And, a lot of the names that you just rattled off, of course, let's not forget Brandon Curry. He's coming back.
Yeah.
He's trying to reclaim that title, and he knows that he's been kind of forgotten at some point.
Yeah.
And he's been working real hard. And every time we kind of count Brandon out, he comes back. And look, last year, I mean, he came in and he finished runner up. He finished runner up with this thing.
Yeah.
And let's not count him out. I mean, a few tweaks, a few adjustments, and somebody else comes in off the mark, and all of a sudden, Brandon Curry could pull like a Dexter Jackson 2008 and slide right back in and take the title again. So.
Yeah.
You know, don't count them out.
Well, it's so exciting about the Olympia now is, you know, when we had those long reigns from Lee Haney and then Dorian and then Phil and even Jay for a little bit, it was hard to dethrone the champion. You know, it seemed like it was almost impossible.
Yep.
And now we've had like Rodin won in 18 and then Curry won in 19 and then we had Rami won last year. So every year it's interchangeable. If someone's off their mark, like you said, they could lose.
That's right. If you go back to 17, of course, Phil won in 17.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, Roden won in 18, Brandon, and then Rami. So that's four consecutive years where we've had four different champions.
That's never happened.
That doesn't happen. I don't know. Has that? I mean, John, you would know. You are the preeminent historian. I always say, and I'll say this with respect to our, you know, our amazing friend, our big brother, the late, great Peter McGuff.
Yeah.
I used to tell Peter that I used to say, Peter, I hope you live forever, because if you don't, I don't know who's going to fill those big shoes of sort of the bodybuilding historian. And John, I will just say this to you. You are doing a great job of doing that, because I don't know that there's anybody alive right now who knows more about the great history of this sport than you do. And also who does as great a job of sharing that with the world. So thank you for doing that. I know Peter would be incredibly proud to see the work that you're doing. I hope he's watching down from where he is and seeing you kind of continue to carry that flag and represent the great history of bodybuilding.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's important that we do it. It's so important. One of these days you got to come to the house, John, because after Peter passed, I went to see Ann, Peter's wife, and Ann gave me some incredible keepsakes from his
collection.
Magazines that would just knock your socks off from the 40s and 50s, old issues of Your Physique. I even have a license plate from Peter that he used to have on his car that said Flex Mag on it, because of course Peter ran Flex. And what a treasure. And it's going to be hard not to stop. It's going to be hard to stop thinking about Peter this coming Olympia, because I know he wasn't able to make the last few because of his health, but he's such a presence and he was such a part of the story of the Olympia. I don't know if a lot of your, I would imagine most of your viewers are familiar with Peter. That might not be the case with all shows, because with a lot of the new crowd, they might not know about that, but I know your audience is very familiar with Peter McGuff, and we just miss him so much.
Yeah. And this will be the first one that he, you know, since he passed away last year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were all close to him. I think we all felt the real fondness for him. And we, you know, those of us in the sport, we always appreciated what he brought, you know, to the sport, his great writing, his sense of history, and, you know, how long he's been around and everything. So, yeah.
And, you know, I always felt like whenever Peter walked into an event, took a seat in the press pit or wherever he was sitting for first or second row, the event suddenly felt more important, right? It was almost like the great Peter McGuff is here with his pad and paper, because he was old school, and he would cover the story. And if you were competing on a stage where Peter McGuff was there covering it, or if you were attending a show where Peter was also attending, you knew you were at something that meant more than any other show. And those are really big shoes to fill. But we're just so grateful to have had all those years with Peter.
Yeah, after he passed away, I did like a tribute show on my podcast for him, and I was going to have people that knew him, you know, like you, maybe Bob Chick and other guys. And then I thought, you know, why not just take all these old interviews I did with him, and I just took these segments of these interviews and I put them all together. And his wife reached out to me and she said, man, that was unbelievable, because I heard his voice, you know, and that really made her feel.
Oh, yeah, that
really touched her, you know.
That legendary, iconic, raspy Peter McGuff voice that just had a way of just sort of telling a story, and you would just kind of become mesmerized. There was times where we'd be on the phone, and you know I talk a lot, but when I would talk to Peter, I just stopped talking and I listened, because he just had such a beautiful way of telling stories.
Yeah. Yeah. I might have a sense of history, but I don't think I'll have his wit. I won't have that British wit that Peter had, you know.
I don't think any of us will. Peter was good. And I'd say this to Peter's face. Peter was good at making bad jokes funny. And he was really, really, really tremendous. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you'll be making the trip to Orlando?
Oh, yeah. I'll be there. I'll be doing backstage interviews again like last year. I guess Sean got me involved again. So that was the best weekend of the year last year for me. So I'm looking forward to doing it again.
Well, that doesn't say much, because there weren't a lot of great weekends last year. but we're glad that we were able to provide some relief. And I'll also tell everybody out there, tickets right now are, I hate to say it, this is not a thing that a bodybuilding promoter should say, but tickets are almost gone.
Yeah.
We're actually trying to release some more tickets for Saturday night, so there's more inventory. The VIPs are long gone. Saturday night's almost completely sold out. There's some good seats left for Friday. So Friday's an important night, because Friday night is the pre-judging for the Mr. Olympia. So you want to be there Friday night.
Yes,
And you also have the finals for the Miss Olympia, Fitness Olympia, Figure Olympia, Saturday night, the Women's Physique Olympia, it's just Friday night's an action filled night. And, I just hope that people get there and realize that a lot of meaningful things happen on Friday night. But, you know, there's going to be, a lot going on this weekend, and, the hotel blocks, the event grew so much that we don't just have one host hotel this year. Now we have two.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, the Hyatt and the Rosen Center. And for those of you guys who don't, they're both connected to the convention center, so they're both convenient. And so you won't really have to drive anywhere. And if you don't know the Rosen Center is a really nice hotel. It's a beautiful hotel with a great pool area and lots of restaurants. And so it's my advice to you guys, if you haven't done so already, get those rooms booked, because that room block's gonna end like literally any hour now, and you're gonna be back to regular prices. So get on that and get to the Olympia. You're gonna love it.
Before I let you go, Dan, let's also talk about the pay-per-view. We just mentioned I did interview Lee Haney and Lee Labrada and Sean Ray and Rich Gaspari last week. So they're all going to be part of that pay-per-view. That I think that's so awesome, doing the commentary. So
I'll tell you what, I got to give Sean Ray and Jake a lot of credit. Sean Ray really dug in on that. Jake decided that he didn't want to just have a couple hosts like we've always had. He recognizes that there's so many great voices throughout the sport with different levels of, you know, expertise in the different divisions. So it's like a Hall of Fame that we have. And I mean, I'm talking, you know, like you said, Rich Gaspari is going to be there. Lee Haney is going to be a co-host. Linda Murray is going to be involved. Rial Graber is going to be doing the fitness. There's like 10 of them, and I'm not even remembering all the names. It's an incredible who's who, Lee Labrada, of just great opinion makers and experts in the field. That one of the cool things, if you get to go backstage, we have this little area roped off where we allow all the sort of guest hosts to hang out while it's their turn. And it's like being at the Hall of Fame. They're all just sitting there one by one. Lee Haney and Ridge and Labrada and all these guys, and they're one by one, and it's just such a cool thing. And I know they really enjoy that camaraderie. And the pay-per-view is going to be really great this year. And for those of you guys who can't make it, just go to olympiaproductions.com and you can order it at pre-show prices. The price will go up as we get closer to the show, so make sure you go ahead and do that. As you probably learned from last year, this isn't your grandmother's pay-per-view anymore. This is a higher viewing experience. The team Jake has really made a big commitment to that pay-per-view and making sure that the viewing experience is the best it can possibly be. The level of coverage, the scope of coverage is bigger than it's ever been. Yeah. We even include prejudging now. We include many more components of the weekend. If you remember years ago, it was just the night show. So we've really gone a long way to kind of making that pay-per-view a real gift to fans really around the world who don't get on airplanes, especially right now in this COVID environment, and be able to be at the show. So I think you guys are going to really love it.
Yeah. Me and Isabel Terrell were doing backstage interviews last year. And I don't remember doing that before. You know, I don't remember ever seeing that before. So that was like when the guys are coming off the stage, the guys and girls are coming off the stage.
Yeah, no, it's great. And then, you know, with the coverage we get from the NPC News Online and of course, Muscle and Fitness, and our team will be there for Muscle and Fitness and Flex. And, I don't know, you'll be out there, and, a lot of media is going to be, I've been approving a lot of press passes lately for
that's awesome.
My colleagues in the media. And, we're amped up. It's almost go time.
Yeah. So Mr. Olympia Production, is it Olympia Productions or MrOlympia.com or?
So. Both? for pay-per-view, go to olympiaproductions.com.
Okay.
And for anything else, whether it's schedule information, hotel links, ticketing, whatever it is you want, go to MrOlympia.com, and including the Amateur Olympia registration, it's all there.
Okay. All right. Great. All right, Dan. Well, thank you again for joining me on the show. I know I've told you this personally and on the air before, but I'm so glad you're running things now. I think it's so much better. And I think it's going to keep getting better and better every year. Like you said, you got more stuff coming, more surprises this year with the press conference and the pay-per-view and the stage and everything. So I think it's just going to be amazing. And I think as long as you're running the show, it's going to keep getting better and better and better.
I appreciate that, John. I have a great team, and it's really a collective effort from so many people involved. But I will just say to you, on behalf of the Olympia, on behalf of bodybuilding as a sport in general, keep doing what you're doing. It's so, so, so important. Never quit this show. This is such an important thing. I'm telling you, John, this is such an important thing, and there's not a lot of people doing it. Everybody out there right now is focused on likes and quick hits and all these other things that people chase, but what you're doing is so meaningful and it's so important. And then I just hope you continue to tell the story of bodybuilding and keep it, you know, part of the conversation, because if we disconnect with our past, you know, we have a way of kind of losing our way when it comes to our future. So I'm really hoping that you continue doing this, and I appreciate all your hard work.
All right. Thank you, Dan. That gives me hope, because sometimes I get a little frustrated. I can't get the guests. So you telling me that makes me feel a little
hey, hopeful. If you're out there and John calls you, if John Hansen picks up the phone and calls you to do an interview, just say yes.
Yes.
Nobody is too important.
Right.
You do the interview if John asks you to do it, because it's a privilege to be interviewed by John Hansen. And I hope everybody out there understands that and appreciates that, because it's really fun getting to talk history with you.
All right. Thanks, Dan. I really appreciate that. All right. Thanks, Dan. Again, appreciate your time, and I look forward to seeing you next month in Orlando. It'll be the whole weekend of October. Well, the 7th through 10th, but it actually goes before that. Like you said, the Amateur Olympia will start before that.
Yep.
Okay. All right, Dan. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
Okay. All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Next week, we will have part two of our interview with Jose Raymond, where we will talk about the 212 division and the classic physique division leading up to the Mr. Olympia contest. I want to thank our sponsor, Florida Alternative Medicine, for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. I also want to thank all our generous Patreon donors who are donating every month to the podcast to help keep it going. I really appreciate you guys. And if anybody out there wants to contribute to the show and be a Patreon donor, you can do that by just going to our website, which is bodybuildinglegendshow.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the link, and you just click on that and you'll be able to donate to the show. And I appreciate anybody who does that. I really do. All right. Before I let you guys go, I'm going to read this article, and this is from the April, May 1978 issue of Muscle Builder magazine. And I think this year, 78, 77, I think those two years were amazing for Muscle Builder. They just had such great articles. They had Jack Neary writing for the magazine. They had Armand Tanney. They had Rick Wayne, and the bodybuilders back then were incredible. In 1979, I think Joe Weider started and changed it to Muscle and Fitness. And he started putting more fitness-oriented articles in there, and then started talking about more women bodybuilders, and it just kind of lost its edge, I think. So the 77, 78 issues, to me, were the highlight of Muscle Builder. All right, so this article is called Close Encounters of a Fifth Kind, written by Armand Tanney. It says, Cal Scalak has landed. His presence in the worldwide bodybuilding scene has become very real. Somewhat of a mystery, even after four previous victories, Cal's capture of the World's Bodybuilding Championship heavyweight title was a shocker. In his life, he has entered five contests and won them all. If I say I'm going to enter a contest, I am going in to win. Everybody else might as well stay home, says Cal Scalak, IFBB Mr. Universe winner, 1977 at Nîmes, France. A mischievous chuckle bubbles from the depth of his massive chest. I'm going to be notorious for never having lost. It is 3 weeks after his victory over the great Mike Mentzer of the USA and Paul Grant of Wales. In the quiet nerve center of bodybuilding, the Muscle Builder editorial offices, caressed by the low background muzak, he seemed subdued and laid back about it all. A reversal of the fierce, overpowering muscular display that won him a position on the three-man American team in the New York Posedown against the likes of Roger Keller. And a week later, the heavyweight victory itself at the International Bodybuilding Championships. Yet there's an ominous ring of truth in his lighthearted statement. He has entered a total of five contests in his life and won them all, including the AAU Mr. America. Others were Mr. Baltimore, Mr. California, and Mr. USA. However, asked when he will drop his intimidating bomb announcing 1978 Mr. Olympia entry, he becomes cautious. I don't think I'm ready for that one yet, he says. He lets the surprise sink in before he qualifies his statement. There was considerable speculation that I wasn't going to make the championships. For that reason, the victory was all the sweeter. I just did what I said I was going to do. I like to think that I've evolved according to that tenet. If I said I was going to do something, I was going to do it. It becomes clear that Cal is no gambler. He has become an all-time threat to any major title. Still, he refuses to commit himself to a contest on the chance that he might lose. If you got an idea you might lose, you might be better off eating a couple pieces of pie before the contest, drink a few beers, and sleep right through it, he suggests. Quite obviously, when he muscles up for the next big one, he wants everyone to think Cal Scalak. And whether it will be the Mr. Olympia or the newly created World Cup contest, he intends to enter prime to the outer limits of his potential. I don't think 1978 will be my year in the professional shows, he conjectures.
I need time to size up these shows. Besides, I need long layoffs from contest training, which essentially means avoiding the steroids. I hadn't touched them in 14 months from the time I won 76 Mr. America until the final few weeks of training for the Mr. Universe. I don't know about others, but I need to stay away from that stuff. Maybe the long interim breaks account for my intense response to it. But victory in the Mr. Universe was sweet, although at the night finals, it wasn't as though he had thought he had won it. But he says, at that point, I was so confident from the response I'd gotten throughout the day that I just turned the evening into a fun time. Though my intent was serious, I simply enjoyed the whole affair. Paul Grant and I kept goofing backstage, and at one point on stage, I led the audience in song, bouncing up and down as the band behind played. It was all fun except the pose down, and that was work. Indeed, the three big contestants, Scalak, Menser, and Grant, were locked in a death grip in the longest, most grueling pose down seen in ages. Obviously, the judges were having a difficult time. The sound of a buzzer signifying a halt sounded faintly in the ear-splitting din, but the contestants were oblivious until finally someone rang a harsh gong. Cal himself had gone through his routine four or five times, and they finally resorted to individual poses. Muscle cuts created flash floods of sweat as the flex, break, flex action, over and over, flushed blood through the straining muscle. Despite the very careful prejudging during the day, the contest reignited, roared through the night like a firestorm. The limited but fiery audience at the small Theater Municipal de Nimes held forth with a clamor you'd expect more likely in Los Angeles and New York. Under such conditions, judges need divine guidance. As is often the case, someone usually sneaks word to the winner right after the prejudging. Cal had received no such word and was apprehensive. All I heard from people was that it's not over yet. I had no idea they judged the night show also. I heard they'd done the same the year before. Both Ahmed Tani and Andy Magna told me to go out there and sock it to them because they were still looking at you tonight. That worried me at first. I wasn't too confident after the prejudging, but then I realized the night show would be to my advantage, so I felt better about it. True, the lineup type judging of the afternoon was not to Cal's advantage. Most of the time that the judges were looking at the lineup during the prejudging, the contestants were standing there relaxed. Menser's fine overall structure bore heavily on Cal's evident weaknesses. When it came to the nighttime posing, it was a different story, says Cal. Ego aside, it seemed to me that the crowd didn't peak until every time I hit a shot. The volume was constant until I would lock on to any of my best poses, and then it would peak. When I realized it was for me, I couldn't stop posing. I figured Europeans and European judges like cuts, and I trained this year with that in mind. I really tried to get cut up. Cuts weren't that important in my last contest, the Mr. America, where they traditionally had preferred size instead. Any arm, back, or chest pose elicited response to Cal. His upper body has the most three-dimensional look, an illusion of depth, of any bodybuilder in the game today. He is deep through the chest, for one thing. His shoulders are thick, and the lats, serratus, intercostals, and obliques blend into a stereoscopic montage. Although he claims he hadn't practiced much posing during the year, he happily dug up some Arnold-like effects. When I came down out of a three-quarter back shot into a double arm shot side view, audience volume soared, and I forgot where I was. I forgot my routine. So I just stood there and smiled, and I held the pose for about 15 seconds, waiting for the audience to subside. But they didn't. They kept screaming. I finally got my bearings, and I went on to other poses. I would have held the three-quarter back shots longer, but they hurt, and they're difficult to hold very long. Many more shots were open to me this year because my development has improved so much. He said that he would have played his posing to the other two men on stage with him that night if he had had to. But I didn't think I had to because the audience seems to be reacting entirely to my poses. Advanced publicity seems to have an initial effect on an audience, and the abiding popularity a contestant brings on stage with him always seems to get a dutiful acknowledgement. That in itself can be a deception when the live showdown begins. The politeness of formality switches to the caprice of favoritism. Says Cal, I've noticed that the highly touted guys like Mike Menser and Robbie Robinson get an amazing amount of applause when they first appear on stage, but it often dies down as soon as they start posing. When I first came on stage at Nimes, I got a few oohs and ahs, but it hadn't really sunk in yet. The audience didn't know what the hell I was all about. When I came out the second time, they began chanting my name. Scalak, Scalak. I loved it, and I would describe charisma as being able to appreciate the fact that the audience appreciates you. Cal got his first trickle of attention when he put 200 kilos on the bar at a gym in Nimes 2 days before the show, and he did 10 bench press reps. A Husky police officer came up to shake hands with him and tell him that he had met Arnold and Sergio. "But who are you?" asked the police officer. "I'm Cal Scalak," answered Cal. "I never heard of you," replied the cop. "That's all right, you will," Cal assured him. Winning the Neems contest was easy compared to the effort of getting there. Boxed up travel arrangements, hotel reservations, and such had both Cal and Danny Padilla sleeping in airports and missing over a week of workouts. By the time they reached Neems, paranoia had set in, and Cal and Dan, during some dark moments, felt like it was some kind of conspiracy to prevent them from competing. In fact, during the ill-fated trek, they had toyed with the idea of chucking it all and going back home. Some weeks later, looking back, Cal laughs. "They couldn't keep me away from that contest. My bodybuilder's homing instinct is too strong." Cal fails to gloat about his victory. "If I didn't receive a lot of publicity last year, it was because I didn't have sufficient resources, like pictures good enough to print. It was my own fault, and I realized that advanced publicity is advantageous before an international event." Wives play a big part in a bodybuilder's victory. Cal extols the virtues of his beautiful wife, Joan. "I am never agreeable nor content on a low-carb diet training for these contests. The brain needs carbohydrates. Joan has learned to cope with my mental deficiencies during these contest training periods. Outside of the supplements I get from Joe Weider, she has full control over my diet and automatically makes the week-to-week changes required as I approach a contest. Whenever I get too cantankerous, she goes boutique shopping, and then I'm in trouble. But she's a wonderful wife." During his last few weeks of training, he went off his formula feeding and resorted to a more instinctive diet, eating calories as he felt he needed them to keep up with the outrageous pace of training. Assessing the caloric demands of the shows themselves, he plans to eat a considerable amount of carbohydrates the day or two before any forthcoming contest. Contest muscle cuts are like delicate brush strokes that day before carbohydrates can destroy like glue in the paint. Cal had gingerly tried some the night before the Mr. Universe with joyous results the following day. The effect was enhancing as his thighs were extremely cut at the show, something unheard of in the past. His post-contest carbo trip for a couple of days even added to them, offering a rare and felicitous bit of information. "Not everyone will react that way," he says. "I found that it helps me. If someone like Ken Waller ate an ice cream cone the night before, his cuts would be about gone the next day." Contest training can be costly. Frank Zane, who had taken a sabbatical from his teaching to train for the Olympia, claimed that it cost him $25,000 to win the $5,000 first place award. "In that sense," says Cal, who had also taken a long break from his job to train for the payless amateur Mr. Universe, "the current professional shows are little more than amateur. I'd like to see $50,000 prizes, at least enough to allow a man to continue training for another year. If not the professional show this year, what are his plans?" "I will stay in shape and give exhibitions and seminars," he says. "I'd like to straighten out the young, aspiring bodybuilders, give them a clear look at modern training methods and the use of anabolic drugs. I think there's a serious shortage of information. In fact, I contribute much of my success this year to the new World Gym in Santa Monica, whose thoughtful equipment design made maximum progress possible. It's still inspiring to see guys like Frank Zane and Lou Ferrigno training alongside you. They, too, know a good thing when they see it. The big pro shows, thanks to the effort of the IFBB, are proliferating now, and it's doubtful that Cal can resist them for long. He is a world-class bodybuilder as of this year. Young at 24 years old, he has the potential to improve. As a perfectionist, he exercises caution. But in the bodybuilding training jungle, you can hear a twig snap in the tall grass where he waits ready to pounce on any succulently green five-figure title. The end. All right, so that was Cal Scalak. He was one of my favorites growing up. And if you've ever seen Cal at his peak, like those pictures of him from the 1977 Mr. Universe where he beat Mike Mentzer, man, he looks just amazing. His upper body was incredible. Unbelievable chest and bicep development. And 24 years old, he was a new guy coming into the scene, and he was very, very exciting. Unfortunately, Cal's career pretty much ended the next year when he did a few things to get the IFBB mad. The first was he tried to create a union for the bodybuilders, and he was the one behind it, and that was squashed by Ben Weider. And then right after that, which was only a couple months later, he did the Mr. Olympia, and he took fifth, which was a good placing. He was in the over 200-pound class against Robbie Robinson and Roy Callender, so he placed behind both of those guys. But Robbie and Roy were in fantastic shape that year. Robbie took second, Roy took third, and then Frank Zane won his second Mr. Olympia, and Frank was super ripped that year. And Boyer Cole finished fourth, and then Cal was fifth. And he was in great shape for that contest, too. I was at that show in 1978, and Cal was super ripped, great shape. He was definitely not out of shape, but I guess the leg development brought him down. His thighs did not match his upper body, and his calves were pretty weak compared to the rest of them. But he was a very, very exciting competitor, and at that 1978 Olympia, he got one of the biggest applauses from the audience. People were standing up cheering for him. I would say he was definitely one of the top guys who got rapturous applause from the audience, and I was one of those people cheering him on because he was my idol. But after that, Cal got suspended by the IFBB for life, and then he eventually went on to compete in Serge Nubre's organization, the WABA organization. He was in great shape against Sergio Oliva in 1980 in a contest in Long Beach, California, but Sergio beat him because he was just so damn big. And then he competed over in Europe against Serge Nubre and Sergio Oliva and who else? Robbie, I think, was in that show. Ahmet Denuel from Turkey was in it. So I think Cal was like fifth in that contest or sixth. He was big in that contest, but not as cut. And, yeah, he only competed a few more years. I think he did the NABBA Universe 1 year. He might have won his class there. But then he was done, and he went on to do bicycle races, where I think he was competing in the either over 40, I think, or maybe over 50, because it was many, many years later. But he became a champion in that sport. So I don't know what Cal is doing now. I have tried several times to get him on the podcast. I've reached out to people like Sean Ray, who – I think was in contact with him not too long ago, a couple of years ago, actually. And he said Cal has no interest in talking about bodybuilding at all, which is really a shame because I really admired Cal and it would be great to talk to him. But if I ever come across anybody that is in touch with him and knows where he is, maybe we can convince him to come on. That would be great. All right, guys, that's it for our show this week. I hope you enjoyed our interviews with Jose Raymond and Dan Solomon, and we will be back next week for part two of our interview with Jose Raymond, where we'll continue talking about the 2021 Mr. Olympia. Until then, stay safe, enjoy your workouts, and we'll see you guys next week. Take care.